Many of you all probably know that Mark Jones is in Africa this week, and I bring you all some bad news. He couldn't find anyone else to give this sermon today, so you're stuck with me. But the good part is this is the service I actually go to, so all you all know what you're getting into here. So we're continuing with our trending series today, and last week Mark kind of left it anonymous, kind of wondering, and that video may have made you wonder too. But we're talking about trending. And today's topic, which I hope you know what that is now, ranks number 3 on most search items on Google. It actually holds 10 out of the top 50 spots on most searched items on Google. Get comfortable is not just a joke for you all. It's actually the title of this sermon. And for those of you all who do not know me, you may be new here or maybe you don't usually come to this service where I usually am. Hi, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who has struggled with anxiety, overthinking, and an addiction to pornography. And my name is Clay. So let's dive right in. We love comfort, don't we? We go shopping for couches and chairs, and most of them probably have comfortable in the name or comfort. You would not go out and buy a pair of uncomfortable shoes when you could own a pair of comfortable ones, would you? We place a bunch of emphasis on being relaxed and meeting our comfort needs. There may be a time from when you were younger where you were comforted during a scary storm. I know for me, I was terrified of tornadoes when I was real little, and my mom would always comfort me by telling us everything was going to be okay, maybe even showing us on the weather radar, getting us to a safe place if we needed to, and doing whatever it is to help comfort us during those times. We love to be comforted chiefly because we hate being uncomfortable. Who loves being sweaty while trying to relax, or a loud noise or a bright light while you're trying to sleep? The Christian life is hard sometimes because it can get uncomfortable. But we have a God who cares for us and comforts us. Today we're going to look at comfort and how God wants us to serve others through comfort. So today's verses are 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says, "All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with the troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us." We all need comfort, whether we know it or not. The truth is that life gets hard. We face sin, challenges, and hard times. We face little things like maybe just a bad day, or we need to be lifted up by a friend. Maybe a pet dies and you're a little sad about it, and we need comfort there. Yes, as Christians, we should lift one another up and help each other even in the small things, but most of the time, the small things aren't what take away years of our lives, aren't what weigh us down for so long. I want to get right to the heart of today. We deal with some tough stuff, like maybe depression, addiction, divorce, loss of a loved one, and many other strenuous things that impact our lives in a massive way. Too many of us pretend we do not face these things, or maybe we try to deal with them in secret. We hear testimonies of other Christians who have been set free from drugs and alcohol, and praise God for those stories, but sometimes we feel stuck or like, why would God help me? We all need comfort in these struggles in life. Whether you believe God can or not, God can help you. He is the source of all comfort, and he wants to help you through this. So here's how I needed comfort. In my story, it all started one night when I could not sleep. I was watching TV late night in my living room when I decided to channel surf. I came across an adult movie, and I instantly got intrigued. I grew up in a pretty different time than kids nowadays, though. We had one TV that had cable, and it was in our living room. We had a desktop computer that was our only source of internet, and that was also in our living room. I didn't get a phone until I was in seventh grade, and we didn't even have Wi-Fi until I was in high school. My phone had no internet either. My parents did a great job raising me. They wouldn't watch movies with sex scenes in them. They would try to skip over that or just turn off the movie or show, whatever came up. They even gave us a talk about what that really is. We went to church every Sunday. We read the Bible every night. My parents did a great job raising me, but Satan still found me. I'm sorry to put you all in an uncomfortable situation here today. I really am. But the truth is that I started watching pornography when I was in about fifth grade. And it's extremely common for viewing to begin as elementary school. That video that played at the beginning, I know that's true. And that's true for a lot of people in the world. My addiction started with just a movie. Then it turned into me staying up late on Saturday nights to catch another movie. And then it turned into me scrolling the internet for pictures and images. And then by the time I was in high school, I was watching it every day and I was fantasizing about women. Sometimes I would watch it even multiple times a day in high school. But it got even worse from there because I became addicted and I felt powerless to this. Now this whole story played a significant role in how I came to know and love Jesus Christ and how I've been forgiven through him. But I feel like this story is going to play an important role in the rest of my life too. Once I became a Christian, this problem did not magically go away. Yes, I stopped watching it every day, and I focused on quitting. I've learned every way not to quit, and I'm still sometimes surprised to find when I find a way on how not to quit. At first, it was try harder, or not even to look at something that would cause the slightest bit of temptation, always running from lust. I read books and wanted to scare myself about the dangers of addiction, and I want to pause here for a moment. These are some fantastic books if you struggle with this. And I have them. You all can borrow them and read them. But if you want to, these are fantastic books. I tried to focus on God and not my addiction. I really wanted to do it all on my own with little or no help from God. Not that he was not offering it, but that I was not really accepting it. Some of these tactics are helpful. Yes, but they should not be the only ones. I should run from temptation. I should focus on God. And yes, I should be well educated on how addiction works. But I found the door to freedom one day when I was at work. I had just struggled really bad with this sin, and I was looking for trying to turn to God, and I found this video of a pastor out in Oregon who also struggled with this addiction. And he led me to an organization called Pure Desire Ministries. Their goal is to bring healing to sexual brokenness, trauma, betrayal, and addictions. I found their podcast and started listening because I could use help with my addiction, I thought. I learned very quickly that I was watching porn was not my problem, but it was the solution that I was using. Now, it wasn't the right solution. I'm not saying that by any means, but it was the one that I chose. I kept learning about sexual brokenness, and I kept saying at first, that's not me, but then I found that, yeah, that is me. I thought to be sexually broken, you had to have some big life experience where maybe something happened and that meant you were sexually broken. But then I realized at such a young age, this problem that I had been dealing with, it shaped the way I was, and that made me broken, and that my brokenness was causing me to act out. I thought that I was watching porn for the longest time because I wanted to. I did not realize how it attached itself to every area of my life. The biggest area of attachment was stress. I remember I used to brag about how I was stress-free, but then I found out I'm a pretty stressed-out guy. I was just medicating with pornography. I found out that my halts were hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and stressed. And when I would experience some of these, I would often turn to pornography. I never realized how it worked its way into every aspect of my life. Yes, I hated porn, just like the Bible said, and I hated my sin, but pornography was a way to escape my problems because I did not want to deal with the pain that I was going through, and it was just easier to go there than to go to God. But God started to comfort me in this battle, and God wants to comfort you. This battle you are fighting does not have to be alone or on your own strength. God is offering help to heal you, and too many times we ignore that because, yes, we want to be free, but what we're going to have to walk through to get free, to be healed, is going to be terrible. Yes, it's going to be complicated. Yes, you're going to have to face hard truths about yourself and your past that you're probably not going to like. But those things that you're going to have to walk through is your brokenness. And that brokenness is broken for a reason, and you're living with it every day. If you're struggling with addiction, you don't keep returning to your fix because you love it. No, you turn back to it because you are broken and you are hurting. And that's one thing you can count on to be there for you. God doesn't just want to be the shoulder to cry on. He wants to be the surgeon to fix your heart. God wants to bring you healing more than you want healing for yourself. I hope that you will invite God in to heal you today. It will get complex and it will get intense, but pain for a short time is much better than pain for a long time or even the rest of your life. So won't you let God into the deepest, most profound depths of your soul and identity and let him do his work? Now, I do want to take a step back here for a moment because I've talked a lot about my battles and what I've gone through today. And honestly, you may be able to relate to it, you may not. Statistics say that people in the church, about 77% of people view it at least once a month. And that's much higher for people outside the church. And it's almost 100% of kids nowadays. But for this part, I want to reach out and talk about all problems. Celebrate Recovery has made it make the most sense to me. They help all hurts, hang-ups, and habits. We are all people, we go through life, we sin, and we all experience the sin of others too. We get hurt by many things, like childhood trauma, sexual trauma, abuse, abandonment, bullying, and many other things. These hurts are not often even caused by us, but they happen to us. They cut deep, and we look for healing. We look in all the wrong places, though. Some people maybe try drugs, maybe alcohol, pornography, gambling, maybe anger, or any other thing, some outlet, some unhealthy outlet to relieve them for a short time. Then they try it when they're hurting, and they try it some more. And then their hurt led them to a hang-up, and their hang-up from their hurt led them to a habit, and now they're addicted. There are all sorts of addictions you can deal with. You can be addicted to money. You can be addicted to work. You can be addicted to relationships, where when you break up with someone, you have to get together with someone else because you just can't deal with yourself. You can be addicted to social media and so many other things. Things like brokenness, loneliness, isolation, trauma, and sin all feed into addictions and make them harder to quit. To tie this back to trending, whether we accept it or not, this is the biggest problem that we face. This is the biggest problem that we are going to face in the future. Not just all the problems that we're dealing with right now, the anger, the alcohol, the gambling, and the drugs, but pornography is going to be the biggest problem that we are going to face in the future, and it probably already is. We all wear a mask and act like our problems do not exist, but they do, and you know it. Maybe this sermon has made you realize that there is some sin in your life that you need to repent of, that you need to address, or maybe this sermon is going to encourage you on this next part and show you that your pain is not wasted. No matter where you are on your journey, you may not have started it yet, and I would invite you, if you haven't, to start it today. Maybe you're on step one, but that's one more step than a lot of other people. Or maybe you're on step 1,000. If you are, I will encourage you to take what God has given you and give that to others. We face significant challenges, but one way of making the most of those is to help others facing similar challenges. So let's get back to comfort. What does it mean to comfort someone? To comfort someone, you should give them strength, hope, and you should help them with their grief and be a light in darkness that they are in. Listen, we cannot reach down and pull someone out of their problem. It's not that easy. What we should do is walk with them out of their pain. Encourage them. Be with them. Share with them how you have found comfort in this area and how you have been blessed by God and comforted. We can find this in other places in Scripture too. Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens. We cannot change someone's heart. I sure wish that I could, but I just can't. I also cannot set someone free, but we can do one thing. We can show up day in and day out of someone's life, caring for them and comforting them, cheering them up and showing them what God has done for us and what God can do for them. Showing up day in and day out is going to have more of an impact than one single great act just one time. So, I have told some of my story in this sermon. And I did that because first, I want you to know that we all go through things. It's unavoidable in life because we're on this side of heaven where people still sin. You have something that you have struggled with, something that has cut you deep. And I want you to know that God can and God will comfort you and help you through this. But as God has comforted you, go and comfort others similarly. We can serve God in many ways, and the most common thing I hear is to serve God with your time, your talent, and your treasure. This is a remarkable statement, but I think that we can serve God with the troubles that we have gone through too. And I know Mark Jones always does his bottom line. This is the bottom line for today if you guys want to write it down. What are you doing to take the bad things that have happened in your life that God has transformed and to help others who are going through the same situation? So I said at the beginning that this story would play a significant role in my future. I gave a sermon here a little over a year ago about Arizona, and all the people involved in my life have probably heard a thing or two about Arizona and what I want to do. That's me in Arizona. It was Halloween. But I feel like God has called me to serve him on a Native American reservation there. I interned here at this church last year for a little while with youth ministry, and I constantly felt like God was calling me to something else, like God was calling me to healing ministry. But to be honest, I had no idea what healing ministry was, where to even start, where to even find one. But I just kept praying about it, and God kept bringing me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We can give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. You will also share in the comfort that God gives us. God started to establish my steps after I was praying this, and he was revealing more and more things to me. Through my brokenness, he led me to Celebrate Recovery, Pure Desire Ministries, and many other healing ministries. I got connected and involved in these, and I started to work on my own healing, and I started to learn about how these ministries work. I wish I'd come up here today and tell you all it's been something like 18 months since my last relapse, but I just cannot. I have to be honest with you all. But what I can tell you is how God has been working on me and healing me in this time. I've had such powerful breakthroughs since I started this journey, and God has been showing up and working in a powerful way. At one point, as many of you all know, I'm a big dreamer. I have a lot of strange dreams I feel like are from God a lot of times. I had another dream. I stood before God the way I saw myself, the way I used to see myself. I stood before him, hated, unforgiven, weird, strange, a loser, just outcast, just the way I used to see myself. And God said, this is how you have seen yourself, but this is how I see you. He said, loved, forgiven, made new, restored, intentional, set free, and not wasted. God can heal your brokenness, and I know this to be true. God has taken the sin and the struggle in my life and turned it into a ministry opportunity. And I want to offer that to you as well. If you suffer from sexual brokenness, addiction, trauma, betrayal, I want to help you heal. I want to help you in your journey, help point you to others who will help you heal too. Your sin does not define you. God does. God loves you too much to leave you where you are. God wants to give you healing more than you want healing for yourself. Maybe you're stubborn like I was for a long time. Maybe you're listening to this sermon and you're thinking, yeah, I know who this would be good for. Or you're so hard-hearted, you're not even letting the words hit you like they should. But I want to tell you that you are not some sort of extreme case. God can heal you, and God wants to heal you. And I would just ask you to invite God into your heart and let him do his work. I beg you to give up these sins and turn to God because he is genuinely fulfilling. This verse does not just apply to me, though. It also applies to you. What are you doing to take what God has done in your life and offer that to others? How are you showing the comfort that God has given you and giving that to others? Now, this is the end of the sermon, and I would like to say that, like we said at the beginning, this sermon was rated PG-13, but I also said that my addiction started in fifth grade, so that meant that I wouldn't even be sitting in here today. So parents, if you have kids that maybe missed this, if you have kids that you didn't want hearing this, if you have kids around that age, it's your job to talk to them about being safe on the internet, because it's so easy for this addiction to start in their lives, and it's so easy for you not to know it. I don't know, I just told my parents about it, you know, a couple months ago, and they had no idea about it. It's so easy for this to happen. So I would encourage you parents to talk to you about it. And here in a moment, we're going to do our invitational closing song. And if you struggle with anything in your life and you want healing, you can always talk to me, Mark Mobley, or Mark Jones when he gets back. We will gladly point you to healing ministries and help you walk in your journey to recovery. Let us pray. Father, thank you for today. I pray that you will move in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that if we have not accepted you, I pray that we will. And I pray, Lord, that if we have not started our healing journey and we are broken and need to, I pray that you will help us to start that today. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to comfort others in the same way that you have comforted us. And be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.